Well, with the economy where it is, of course, beginning to rebound, there's still that entrepreneurial spirit in our country, even though I think in the last few years maybe it's been dampened a little bit. But there are, we're going to talk today to a couple of people who really live the success of being entrepreneurs. That's Michael Houlihan and Bonnie Harley. You have no doubt seen Barefoot Wine just about everywhere. Well, they are the ones that are behind that. We'll talk about that a little bit. They have a book out called The Barefoot Spirit that talks about it as well. And Michael and Bonnie, good to have both of you on the program today.
We are delighted to be here. Thanks so much for inviting us.
Well, great. When you started in one room, right, with very little or no money, correct?
It was actually a laundry room in a rented farmhouse.
Wow. And did you have a vision of what you were going to do, or did you just kind of start? How did it get started?
Plan A was to bottle up all the wine that we had collected in lieu of cash that was owed to a grower and sell it to the chain stores. But it didn't quite work out that way. It was much more difficult, so we had to go to Plan B and C after that.
Yeah, and well, we know what's taken since then. It's huge now, and was I know that you guys sold out a long time ago, but you're still doing a lot of things regarding talking to people about how to be an entrepreneur, which is, I think, very important.
That's right. In fact, we've spoken at over 40 schools that teach entrepreneurship and several conferences throughout the world.
I'm glad to hear that, because I don't think there's enough of that going on in schools, even I think in colleges, and even in probably the lower education, as far as public schools, that kind of thing. There needs to be more of that, doesn't there?
I agree completely, and Michael and I have found that the message that we have to share, which is really talking about guiding principles for success, according to the response we get from the 40 schools that teach entrepreneurship, what we're teaching isn't taught in schools.
Yeah, and that's why I think it's so important. Tell us some of those principles, because I think they are very important. And I'm sure they start with ethics and fair play, don't they?
Well, they certainly do, and they also start with an overriding principle, which is put yourself in the other guy's shoes. Now, I know that sounds like something your grandma told you, but the fact is, if you're buying supplies from somebody, you want to think about what is their expectation. What do they expect? Put yourself in their shoes. They're going to basically lend you money. You're going to have to pay them in 30 days. What happens if you don't pay? How are they going to feel? So have empathy for these people, and that goes with your buyer and your customer and everybody else. So that's one of the big principles.
Right. Tell us some other things.
Well, another one is make mistakes right. That's a principle. It's an attitude about making mistakes. When we learn by our mistakes. So it's okay. Don't be afraid of it. But don't try to hide a mistake or else you're wasting it. So don't waste a perfectly good mistake. Make mistakes right, spelled W-R-I-T-E. And that means find out what checklists, lists, or a clause in a contract, what has to be changed, and write it down. Make that change.
Now, that brings up kind of a good point, because we've had some of probably Volkswagen comes to mind as and some of the recalls that have taken place with airbags and Honda and that kind of thing. I only bring it up because sometimes, unfortunately, corporations try to hide things, and it just makes it a lot worse. If you can come out and be honest about it up front, that's going to be a lot better way to do things.
Yeah, well, the big problem in the big corporations is that job security is job number one. So say you work on the other end of an 800 number call, and you're calling in with a problem about your ignition system or this or that. You know, if you bring this issue up in your company, that you could get fired because you're causing trouble, and your job is to resolve complaints at your level and not push them up the ladder, and certainly, you know, not to pick on the people in production or marketing. So there's this status thing that happens inside of corporations that allows this separation between the customer and top management to take place. They say they put the customer on top, but how do you put the customer on top if you put sales and customer service on the bottom?
Yeah, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to do. Unfortunately, it ends up costing, in most cases, when a corporation does that, much, much more than if they have just come clean in the beginning, I think.
Well, besides the financial responsibility, there's the cost of reputation, and that is the most damaging, and that lingers for a very long time.
Yeah, and in small businesses, of course, it's maybe a little easier because you may have one person to talk to or two people to talk to in a small business where you can resolve it very quickly. And sometimes also if the people who are on duty are allowed to take care of something when right there when it takes place, let's get a restaurant, for instance, that can surely go very far with helping customer service, I think.
Oh, yeah. I don't think there's any question if you put three entrepreneurs in a garage and they're creating a product, there's no question in anybody's mind that they have to make sales or they're going to go out of business. They have to please the customer or they're going to go out of business. They have to talk to the customer every day to remain relevant or they're going to go out of business. What happens is we start to hire people to do specialty jobs, and all of a sudden the specialty job seems to have a life of its own, and we forget where the money really comes from.
Exactly. Does everybody have entrepreneurial DNA, or can it be developed, or is it natural? What do you think?
I think it has to do a lot with how a child is brought up. If their parents were both business owners and talked about their business with the child when the child was growing up, you've got a much better chance of seeing the whole picture. So that's how your mind will work, is seeing the whole picture in business. And that is really essential. Whether or not that person becomes an entrepreneur, they would be much more likely to be a great value to any company that they work for. So, yes, it can be learned not only by your parents and peers, but also in schools. There are certain lessons that are taught, but there's nothing like going out there and doing it yourself. Go out and make a sale. That's what it takes. It's tough.
Yeah, it really is. Junior Achievements is one organization that is in schools and unfortunately is not in enough, but they do teach these kind of things and even, some of the basic stuff from kindergarten up to 12th grade, I think they have programs. So they do a great job, but unfortunately they don't get to everybody, I think.
No, I don't think they do. And I think many schools that teach entrepreneurship, the entrepreneurship curricula is coming right out of the business school. Now, the business school is going to teach you things like, you know, how to write a business plan, how to apply for a loan, you know, how to take a look at data, how to model things. This really doesn't have to do with entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship is really all about sales. It's about taking risks. That's what it's about.
Yeah, that's right, and you certainly did when you were working out of a laundry room and going out distributing that kind of thing. And I'm sure there were a lot of lows for you doing that at the beginning, weren't there?
Years worth.
Yeah, was there? Yeah. Did you ever want to give up?
We never wanted to give up, but we did. We did have to pick ourselves up off the street a few times. I mean, you get up in the morning and you find out that you got a fine from some agency that works for some government that you didn't even know that existed, and somehow you violated one of their regulations. And so now you're facing like a $10,000 fine or your license is suspended for 30 days. You know, that's when you go, oh my gosh, you know, is this really worth it? How many more of these little loopholes are there?
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, that gets into another about regulation and all that kind of thing. But, I know. And it probably happens even more in the kind of industry that you were in, too, with spirits and that kind of thing. So it's,
exactly. It's a very controlled substance in business.
Absolutely. Well, we want to thank you two for joining us. This is most interesting. And is there a website people can get more information, what you guys do as well?
Yes. We've written a lot of blogs about business. And they can be found at www.thebarefootspirit.com. And we also have courses available there, lots of great information for the people. We like to share the lessons that we've learned, and this is the way we've done it, is through the blogs that we've written, through the courses that we offer, and also through our book, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand.
Terrific. Michael and Bonnie, thanks for joining us.
Okay. Thank you. It was a lot of fun, Bob.